Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. We bring the chapter Babu Tahrimi Sabbil Muslimi Bi Ghairi Haqqin, the chapter on the prohibition of unjustly abusing any person, any Muslim, verbally by using any wrong words against him. This is incorrect, and the prohibition not being permissible to do this. وَعَنْهُ قَالَ أُتِيَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهُ وَسَلَّمَ بِرَجُلٍ قَدْ شَرِبَ قَالَ اِضْرِبُوهُ قَالَ أَبُو هُرَيْرَةَ فَمِنَّ الْمُضَارِبُ بِيَدِهِ وَالضَّارِبُ بِنَعْلِهِ وَالضَّارِبُ بِثَوْبِهِ فَلَمَّا انْصَرَفَ قَالَ بَعْضُ الْقَوْمِ أَخْزَاكَ اللَّهُ قَالَ لَا تَقُولُ هَذَا لَا تُعِينُ عَلَيْهِ الشَّيْطَانُ رَوَاهُ الْبُخَارِي. Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu narrates that a person who had consumed alcohol was brought to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, beat him. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu said, some of us beat him with our hands, some of us beat him with their shoes, and some beat him with their clothes. As this person was departing, first when in the initial days of Islam, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if any person had consumed alcohol, there was no specific number or specific amount that this person needed to be punished. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him, general sahaba, to beat him, just to give him a bit of a warning. Person gets shaken up, goes worried that he is getting a beating. The next time he'll think twice whether he should consume the alcohol. So this is what this hadith is speaking about in the early days. Then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he told sahaba to beat him. So some people took their shoes, some people took their clothes, some people used their hands to hit this person. Now whilst this was happening, as this person was departing, this had finished, now everyone gave him some hiding. Now we might think to ourselves that this sounds a little bit harsh, a little bit cruel, but Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam understood and he knew the harms of alcohol, the harms of drinking. Rather, he gets a little bit of hiding and he gets sobers up and he realizes I shouldn't be doing this, then consuming that alcohol and that harm that comes to his spirituality, that harm that comes to his deen, that harm that comes to even the dunya of a person because of him being a habitual drinker. There's so much of harm. If he gets hiding a little bit one time and then he gets sobers up, it is much better for him than him continuing on this habit. So anyway, now whilst after this person had got his hiding and he was departing, someone said, Akhzakallah, that may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala disgrace you. So he cursed him after that. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, don't say that. Do not help shaitan against him. Why? What this means is that hiding was enough now for him. That was the punishment he's got there. Now by you cursing him, by you verbally abusing him with these curses, you're actually helping shaitan against him, because you're strengthening shaitan's position. Shaitan wants people to become disgraced. He wants people to do the wrong things. He wants to see and he wants assistance. So by you cursing your brother, you're actually helping shaitan in his cause. You're not helping your brother, nor are you assisting the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, helping the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or your brother in any way. But actually what you are doing is you are assisting shaitan. And look at that one word that this person had said, one extra phrase over and above. Somebody who had consumed alcohol, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam cautioned him, don't say this, don't do this. Can you imagine when a person is a pious person, or a person is not a sinner, a person is a general person, a believer, and we have no right to use bad words against him, how much more serious it will be if we use bad or wrong words against him. Later on in Islam, now the had and the punishment for drinking alcohol had been stipulated in the time of Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu. He had fixed it that for the person that drinks or alcohol will now be given 80 lashes or 40 times 2. He'll be lashed 40 times, and he later changed this. First he started off that he'll be lashed 40 times, and then later Umar radiallahu anhu had changed it now to 80 times. So this had now become the had and the punishment for a person that is caught consuming alcohol. وَعَنْهُ قَالَ سَمِعْتُ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ يَقُولُ مَنْ قَذَفَ مَمْلُوكًا بِالزِّنَا مَنْ قَذَفَ مَمْلُوكَهُ بِالزِّنَا يُقَامُ عَلَيْهِ الْحَدُّ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ إِلَّا أَنْ يَكُونَ كَمَا قَالَ. Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu narrates that I heard Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying, one who accuses his slave of fornication will have the punishment meted out to him on the day of Qiyamah unless his accusation was correct. So here we see something that even a person who has a slave is a person who has no ownership of his own, no rights of his own, and yet he is told the person that accuses his slave of zina will have the had, the punishment of accusation, meted out to him on the day of Qiyamah. What it means is that because this person was his own slave, so now that punishment couldn't be meted out to the master. This is the master's own slave, so it couldn't be meted out to him in this world, so he got saved from it here, but he will get that punishment on the day of Qiyamah. So serious it is to misuse the tongue, to use wrong words against somebody. Even your own slave, if you use these words of zina and you're accused of zina, then also it is a serious thing. If you're not going to get the punishment here, then it will be given there, but it's not a small thing. So we have to be very careful. Very often it happens with the staff, people in the heat of the moment whilst working with the staff, and it may be a difficult job, whatever it is. So in the heat of the moment, the boss tends to use vulgar languages, abusive languages. You should think about these words of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We don't want to help shaitan, number one. We don't want to say something that we'll have to pay the price of tomorrow on the day of Qiyamah. Let us do the work and let us create that level of control within ourselves. Tomorrow we start a new chapter, beautiful chapter, on Babu Tahrimi Sabbil Amwati Bi Ghairi Haqtin Wa Maslihatin Shar'iyatin. The chapter on the prohibition of verbally abusing the dead. Don't even verbally abuse a dead person. So much of respect Sharia gave. There's no need to verbally abuse a dead person unless it's for some shari'i benefit. I'll just give one incident and we'll terminate tomorrow and we can do further. There was a person by the name of Ikrimah bin Abi Jahl. He was the son of Abu Jahl, and he had also a lot of enmity and he had a lot of hatred for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, like his father Abu Jahl. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he had come to Fath Makkah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had made am i'lan that you people are forgiven. All the people are forgiven. Made am i'lan. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had given it, and he said that you can go to the home of Abu Sufyan and you can go to other places and you can get sanctity except for 11 men and 4 women. So except for 15 people, these people, the rest of the people, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had given an announcement of forgiveness. Now from amongst those 15 people was this Ikrimah bin Abi Jahl. So what he had done was he fled from there. He ran away from there and he went to Yemen. And from Yemen, he jumped onto a boat hoping to go to Ethiopia or go to some other place if he could get refuge. Now whilst he was on the boat, there was a storm that had broken out. A severe storm that had broken out. So now he got worried and he took the name of Lat and Uzza. Those were the idols at that time. So he is asking them for help. So one person on the boat told him, don't ask Lat and Uzza for help. Ask Allah for help. If anybody is going to help you, it will be Allah that will help you. So now he thought to himself that I'm here in the middle of the ocean, stranded. If Allah Pak can help me in the middle of the ocean, then he can also help me in the land. So he made a resolution with himself that if Allah Pak saves me, then I will go and I will accept Islam at the hands of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And it happened, Allah Pak had given him safety, that boat had come to the shore. Now his wife was his first cousin also. Umme Hakim, his wife was his first cousin, Binti Haris radiallahu ta'ala anha. She had so much of worry and concern for him that when she had accepted Islam, she asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, will you accept my husband? Will you accept him also in Islam? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, yes, I will accept him. So anyway, she now goes and she explains this to her husband that she hasn't found any person more pious, more better than Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So then he accepts and he comes with her. And when he comes with her, she was such a pious woman that on the way he wanted to have marital relationship with her. She said, no, you are a kafir, I am a Muslim, I can't even do this. So he was surprised that his wife also is talking to him like this. But anyway, when he came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and then he asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and she was there in Parada also, whether Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will give him protection. And Rasulullah sallam had confirmed. He was so taken back by this. He told Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, whatever amounts of battles I fought against you, against Islam, I take an oath in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that I will double that for the sake of Islam. Those amounts of battles that I fought against Islam, I take an oath that I will double it for the sake of Islam. And then he said, whatever money I spent against Islam, I take an oath that I'll spend double that for the sake of Islam. And whichever people I stop from Islam, I make it a point that I will go to them and I will invite them to Islam. so affected he was by the shahada of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So one thing we learn from this here is that it doesn't matter what a person is doing, don't ever lose hope and don't ever write that person out completely. But this person was fleeing, he was the enemy of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was fleeing and he was running away. Allah Pak had written hidayat for him. And such a turnaround that had come that the sakh dushman, who Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam didn't even give him respite at the time of Fath Makkah, but yet hidayat was written for him, and how he accepted Islam, and thereafter how much he did, he became Hazrat Ikrima radiallahu ta'ala an, he became a sahabi and a mubarak sahabi also after accepting Islam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the tawfiq of making amal. As we know, today is Friday, we should increase salawat upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and we should try and read Surah Kahf, come early for Jummah Salah, and take advantage of the time between Asr and Maghrib. For ulama of the opinion that du'as are answered in this time. Subhanallah bihamdi, subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika, ashadu an la ilaha illa anta, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Subhanarabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun, wa salamun al mursaleen, walhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.